There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast is being brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.
So now the other thing that we have to worry about in our culture wars is citizens who turn in their friends and their family members, and even strangers. Like hotlines for non-criminal bias. Yeah, I'm not making this up. While we have a First Amendment that protects our free speech, and that hasn't been changed, we sure aren't using it the way we used to. Now we have a presidential administration, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, colluding with all these tech corporations to censor what you can hear and what you can say. And the state of Washington, which is even crazier than the state of California, I know that's hard to believe, but it is. They have a plan for to set up government to be a watchdog for bias. That's right. If you think that your friend or your even a family member or a neighbor or even a total stranger has expressed bias, I'm not talking about an actual hate crime. Look, if somebody punches somebody else because of their gender preference or their race, like, they should go to jail immediately. Do not pass go, right? But how do you judge bias? That's a good question, right? The governor is expected to sign something called Designated Substitute Senate Bill 5427, which was promoted as supporting people who have been targeted or affected by hate crimes and bias incidents. So in other words, they have a reporting hotline so they can track what they call bias incidents. And then they give that information to law enforcement. This isn't just about going after people who have actually committed or are alleged to have committed physical hate crimes. It now targets people who are hostile or express some kind of animus towards another person. So, you know, maybe you say, I don't like them, they're Jewish, or I don't like them, they're gay, whatever. So now you get to inform on people who are supposedly guilty of thought crimes, or maybe even speech crimes. It protects expressions about government operations that are protected free speech, but it allows someone else, anyone else, to target an individual because of opinions. This is the scariest stuff. Representative Cindy Jacobson from Puyallup, Washington. I think it's difficult to put things into law which look at the intent of people rather than the actions they take. Obviously, she never read 1984 or any of those books, because we've been told about this for a long, long time. We got people out there right now amputating healthy body parts on children. We have people now who are obsessed with bringing in as many illegal aliens, even if they're terrorists or Chinese soldiers, as possible into America. But don't you get caught saying something that implies some kind of bias to any group. Borderline personality, you'll get accused right away. sociopaths are usually well-liked, you know, because they're charming and have charisma. But are you a psychiatrist? How do you get to diagnose your neighbor as a sociopath? It's not just Democrats either, let me tell you. Plenty of Republicans doing this nonsense. Anyway, that does it for me. Tomorrow, Ellen Karras is going to be my guest. Many of you know she's a conservative comedian and very funny. But I thank you for your time this time. Until next time, my plan is to be back here at 3 o'clock tomorrow. If it be his will and he delays his coming, what lies behind us and what lies ahead of us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So wherever you are, just be yourself. Everybody else is taken. May God bless you, and may God bless Israel, and may God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Joe Biden's administration is touting all the economic success. They're also touting lower crime statistics, which I'll get to later. Talk about gaslighting. It's unbelievable. But the tightening economics in the TV news industry, it means that you're going to have to watch carefully at what happens. We got some new people in there. The new chief over at CNN is this guy, Mark Thompson, and he's looking at all the salaries of these big names at the network. You know, he comes from like a real frugal kind of background, the New York Times, the BBC. And now he understands, even though they failed miserably in their last digital trial, he knows that that's the future. And he's got to get rid of some of these salaries that are weighing down the balance sheet for CNN. And it's not just CNN. It's Fox News. And when you look at the business model that's changing every month, talent and the cost of talent is definitely on the chopping block. You have to figure out how to stay lucrative, right? That's what everything is about. Cable news networks make some of their money from advertising and most of their money from affiliate fees that are paid by the cable carriers. So a corporation like Fox has Fox News, and they make a ton of money in advertising, but way more, like four times as much in affiliate fees. But every year in the last couple of years, the affiliate fees, the number gets smaller because consumers aren't streaming. They've got other much cheaper alternatives, and that's a real crisis for the news industry. The proportion of U.S. households paying for traditional TV subscriptions dropped below 50% for the first time. So every other home doesn't have any kind of traditional TV subscription, no cable TV, no dish. So how are you going to make profits when all of the methodology that you've used for generations is not working anymore? You better decide how you're going to figure this out before you run out of money. I think in media, they said they use the term, you better pull the emergency brake before the car flies off the cliff. And so you'll see layoffs. You've seen them. Staffing cuts everywhere. ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, all of them. But then you look at the salaries that some of the stars are realizing. And you think, wow, this is so out of touch with what's actually going on. You shrink your newsroom to a couple of, you know, maybe a dozen reporters at a time. And then, you know, and that's supposed to be your big cost saving. And then you got guys, and I'm not going to name any names, we all know who they are, who have $20, $30, $40 million per year contracts. How long do you think that's going to work? The tensions are percolating because the people who do the hard work, the rank and file, are looking at the superstars that are getting paid, the highest paid talent out there, and it's like Survival. It's actually like that show Survivor. You know, a relatively small pay cut just for the highest paid talent could probably save dozens of lower level jobs and probably make the product better. This isn't new. You know, television salaries being sky high, this is not news. We've known all along. We know that personalities are actually known by how many millions of dollars their contracts are, from even non-straight-up news guys like Howard Stern. But there's a lot of jealousy now among the people, the print reporters, a lot of bitterness towards these TV personalities who make such obscene sums of money, and they really don't do any reporting. You know, it's all the underlings who are doing all the hard work, and then they get on there for an hour or 2 hours or whatever, and they blather, and they give their opinion on all the hard work that their staffers have done. And in a cable news market right now, the contributors are the first ones to get hit. So if you're a contributor, you know, and that's the people who you see show up on a regular basis. Again, you know the names. I don't have to tell you. But now, we don't have those kind of contributor rosters like we did when I first started. Well, when they were using a lot of talk radio personalities to come on a regular basis and give their opinions. When they were still trying to maintain some level of, look, we're just doing straight reportage, but we can bring you opinions here. We'll bring in, you know, whoever. Gone are the days when Roger Ailes would, you know, toss $500,000 deals to John Bolton. That ain't happening anymore. Why pay pundits for commentary? They'll provide it for free. So the contributor business is dead. If you get a deal at all, it's going to be not a lot of money. Some people are just getting paid per appearance. But the top anchors, even they're starting to feel the pinch. They just took away, I think, half of Nora O'Donnell's salary, the CBS News anchor. I mean, she was up at somewhere north of $7, $8 million, and now she's less than $4 million. Even though $4 million. And then there's others. You have unbelievable people doing a lot of serious work. CNN's chief wants to fund his digital-first transformation. He's going to have to cut anchor salaries. And you can imagine how panicked they are. Anderson Cooper, Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper, and who could care less, Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace pulls in $8.5 million a year. Fox News and MSNBC, you know what they're paying? Sean Hannity makes $25 million a year. Rachel Maddow, $30 million. Joe Scarborough, when he found out that Rachel Maddow was making $30 million, he said he wanted $30 million and $1. That's a big problem. These people are asking for tens of millions of dollars to be anchors. And I don't know. How long you think they're going to pull that? You have these personalities have a lot of relationship. Hannity, Maddow, Laura Ingraham, they built relationships with their audience. And you can't buy that. Hosts that draw an audience just because they're on. That's the old formula. And it's going to shift. It's going to change. You know, in just a little while, Tucker Carlson's deal will be finished. I think he's got another couple of months of being paid. And CNN has stopped paying Don Lemon's salary. I think their separation agreement paid out his remaining 3 years on the contract when they let him go. But the executives know that with very little money to play with anymore, the power of personality isn't working. And despite all the hemming and hawing about, oh, digital, it didn't work last time, it's not going to work, it's their only hope. You know, these guys are going to have to do podcasts. I laugh, like Anderson Cooper has a hit podcast, and, you know, this one has a podcast, and I still really don't know how people make money on podcasts, but I guess we'll figure that out one of these days. Well, I won't, because I'll be retired by the time they figure it out. But this is going to be a big change. And it's well deserved. I think we can all agree that it was fun while it lasted, but the idea that you would fire, you know, 24 reporters and be down to bare bones reporters and keep some guy making $30 or $20 million a year to sit there and read the work that they've done, you know, just use all that information and then pontificate on the air. I mean, maybe you turn on the TV to watch them, but I don't. And I don't think many people do. I don't watch more than 15 minutes of any television news program, and even that, I only watch it if there's some really big breaking story, like am I looking to see who wins a primary? And then as soon as I know who won, that's it. I turn it off. I'm not going to spend another minute there. There's no more personalities, even though I used to like to watch Tucker Carlson. Once they took him off, then I ran out of excuses to sit in front of the Fox Network for an hour. I got other things I could do, and I could do my own research. How about that? Or watch one of these streaming online, internet news teams, whether it's OAN or Blaze or whatever, Breitbart. Everybody's got something. You don't have to sit there and watch some guy making $25 million a year reading all the hardworking stiffs under his reports. No, that's not a formula that's going to win any longer. So we'll see. You know, I don't begrudge anybody. If they've earned it and they can get a contract that's that big, I don't begrudge them that. But I think it's not going to, you can't sustain that. You really can't, because revenues are so far down. Advertising is a very difficult medium. It always has been, but it's even more now because people can get a lot more bang for their buck in digital. And they know that. And they'll spend a ton of money learning how to do better on the online than they do in traditional media. So we'll see. And, you know, now we have this split screen I was looking at earlier of the two trips to the border, Trump and Biden. And it's really fascinating, but it's a little too little too late for Joe Biden, and just drives home the fact that Donald Trump knows what the problem is. He was at ground zero in Eagle Pass. So we'll see. We'll see how this all plays out. Let me take my break here. You're listening to the Joyce Kaufman Show on 850 WFTL. After me will be Eric Erickson, followed by Joe Pags, and then we'll hear from Lars Larson. And then tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., Jen and Bill will be back with the South Florida Morning Show, followed at 9 o'clock by Brian Kilmeade, at noon by Dan Bongino, and then I'll be back at 3 o'clock. Still have one segment left today, so don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. Power couples. Now we find out that Hillary Clinton's, I don't know how to describe her, her longtime associate and aide, former wife to Anthony Weiner, he of the sex texting scandal, is dating Alex Soros, George Soros's billionaire playboy son. They put out something yesterday in Valentine's Day. You know, they were in Paris, or they put something out on Instagram. Oh, they're in love. She's like 10 years older than him. Not that that matters. I mean, you know, some guys like older women. She looks good. But, talk about a scary couple. That's a scary couple. Uma Abedin and Alex Soros? Because George Soros, when he handed the reins over to his son, said he's much more political than I am. How much more political can you be than George Soros was? But that was what he said. So this is a romance that comes, I don't know, how long ago since she divorced Weiner? She was married to him for, I don't know, 5-10 years, and then they got divorced probably 5-10 years ago. And that was a lot of high-profile scandals that she had to deal with. You know, that was no joke when her husband got lambasted. She, of course, had been very, very instrumental in Hillary Clinton's candidacy for presidency. I think she was a campaign. She might have even run that campaign. I don't remember anymore. But this guy, he's a playboy. He likes to throw parties. And he is the official heir to $25 billion invested in the Open Society Foundation. And there's an older brother, by the way, named Jonathan, who they're now fighting. And a lot of people say that there's some kind of TV show that some of my friends watch called Succession. And they're saying that it's actually based on the two Soros brothers, Jonathan and Alex. And back in, I guess it was June of last year, Alex said, let me make this perfectly clear to everybody. I'm going to use the family money to finance way more far left causes than my father ever did. Abortion rights, gender equality, transgender rights. And he said, he told the Wall Street Journal, he's way more political than his father. And you're going to see that in his business dealings. And of course, he is terrified about Donald Trump potentially returning to the White House. And he said, we will contribute a lot of money to Democrats in this next presidential election. As much as I would like to get money out of politics, he said, as long as the other side is doing it, we will have to do it. By the way, Democrats have always poured more money into politics than Republicans have. That's just the truth. But hey, listen, he can justify and rationalize things as much as he wants to. But Huma Abedin's got to be loving her life right now. I mean, she was a power broker before the 2016 election loss. And, you know, she was up there during the Clinton administration. She was married to the congressman, Anthony Weiner. And she does, I think they have a kid together, a son. So who knows? I mean, I don't know how this all plays out, but I can tell you one thing for sure. That's a power couple. And if they stay together, the only thing I would tell Uma is, remember, this guy has had many, 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 many relationships with many, 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 many high-powered women. You're not the first, and you may not be the last. And you look okay at 47, but something happens at 50 that there's no coming back for. She was supposed to be dating Bradley Cooper because she's very close friends with Anna Wintour, the editor of Vogue magazine, and that was apparently who she wanted to be connected to. But now she found somebody with a heck of a lot more cash, and we'll see. You know, this is a very, very powerful guy, George Soros. So you go, 47-year-old Huma Abedin, because it just tells you a whole other story about what he's looking for in a woman. That was one story that caught my attention, but there were a couple of stories in this morning's paper that I'm not going to be able to get to today. And one of them, I did my thought of the day on this whole idea yesterday that Russia is trying to figure out how to have nuclear capability in space. Ostensibly, they're saying to bring down satellites, but nobody believes that. And all I kept thinking is, what happened to all these treaties that we had? Like, are all those treaties no longer in effect? The whole thing is a little bit bizarre to me. So I'm just trying to figure that out. really. And we'll see. But I saw some crazy photographs. I don't know if the rest of you were looking at these photographs of these Ukrainian soldiers and the condition that they are in. First and foremost, that Russia allowed these pictures to get out there. One of them was of a soldier that was released. He was 20 months imprisoned by Russia, and Vladimir Tsima Bursov, age 41, this guy looks like the photographs of the men that were released from Treblinka. I mean, he's painfully thin. He's like 6'2" and weighs like 100 pounds or 120 pounds. And they really, it looks like pictures that were taken at a Nazi death camp. And he's, of course, now being treated for all kinds of medical problems because he was starving. He was serving with Ukraine's 56th Separate Motorized Infantry Brigade when he was captured back in April of 2022. He used to be a musician on cruise ships, but boy, this is a serious photograph. And I'm just, when I look at these images of what's going on, they've been at war for over a year. And we have no idea the human tragedies that have been taking place. But I'm quite certain after looking at this picture that when we do finally see how bad this all really was and how much suffering is going to be still ahead of these Ukrainian soldiers and families that have been fleeing and all these diseases that people are going to... When you end up being starved like this, you have all kinds of problems, gastritis and liver disease and reflux disease and all kinds of chronic prostatitis, all this stuff. And that's what's going on. And I'm not sympathetic. I'm not sympathetic. I am sympathetic. But at what point do we actually figure out that either some NATO countries go in there and end this madness, or the amount of human tragedy and loss is going to be incalculable? This is horrible, what's going on. And, you know, they're fighting in Congress over the funding, and I get that. But at what point do we as Americans get to say, we have problems here in this country that we're not addressing, that we're not taking care of? That southern border is a major issue. And you cannot keep ignoring it, because now it's a national security issue above and beyond the human tragedies that are taking place, the child sex trafficking, the fentanyl that's pouring over the border. I keep looking at these statistics of the amount of death caused by these fentanyl pills and whatever, I guess, the other form of it is, like heroin in powder form. This is just... taking people out every day all over this country, and we've got a government that doesn't seem to be the least bit concerned about it. They're more concerned about the border of Israel and Egypt, or Gaza and Egypt, than they are about our southern border. And it's going to play out in this upcoming election. That I can assure you. And it's going to play out in the favor of my candidate. So we'll see. Of course, he did get the bad news today that the trial can go forward. We'll see. We'll see how this all plays out. I just think he becomes more stronger and more power broker every day. And the more they do this, the worse it is for them. So I thank you for your time this time. Until next time, my plan is to be back here tomorrow at 3 o'clock. If it be his will and he delays his coming, what lies behind us and what lies ahead of us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow at 3. So I have mixed feelings about the bill that passed the House, the TikTok block, because it's not really a ban if they sell. They gave TikTok permission to sell the company, or I guess ByteDance, which is the parent company, they gave it permission to sell or they would ban it. The problem is I was listening to all these people who use TikTok as a vehicle for their businesses or even just as a place where they can go and have conversations that they might not be able to have anywhere else on mass levels, right? So there are businesses operating off TikTok. For the life of me, I don't know how that works, but it's true because I saw a number of people testifying to that. And freedom of speech is very important, especially important to someone like me, because this is what I do. I get to say controversial things on the radio because we have laws in this country that give me the right. So it's a big deal. Elon Musk spent a fortune buying what was formerly Twitter, turning it into X, because he didn't like the way they were shutting down conservative speech. So here's a news flash for you that I'm just watching as the story begins to unfold. Apparently, Musk just canceled a deal that he had with Don Lemon. Don Lemon, the former CNN guy. I don't like Don Lemon's show. I never did. But he said that Musk canceled his partnership with Don Lemon after an interview he conducted for the show. So in an Instagram post, Lemon explained the sudden cancellation, which happened hours after their conversation, which took place on Friday. This past Friday. He said, this is what he said on Instagram. And as I said, I don't like this guy, but I love the freedom of speech. He said, Musk has canceled the partnership I had with X, which they announced as part of their public commitment to amplifying more diverse voices on their platform. He informed me of his decision hours after an interview I conducted with him on Friday. That interview will remain the premiere episode of the Don Lemon Show on Monday, March 18th. Elon publicly encouraged me to join X with a new show, saying I would have his full support and that his digital town square is for all. He and his team pursued the deal in numerous conversations and made significant commitments about the support X would provide for the show. I made the decision to work with them that my work would be available to the most people in the largest possible venue. I took him and his management team's word that they, for the first time, were interested in working directly with new and diverse voices. There were no restrictions on the interview that he willingly agreed to, and my questions were respectful and wide-ranging, covering everything from SpaceX to the presidential election. We had a good conversation. Clearly, he felt differently. His commitment to a global town square where all questions can be asked and all ideas can be shared seems not to include questions of him from people like me. Our conversation will be available on YouTube, wherever you listen to podcasts, and X. This will just be the first of many episodes of the Don Lemon Show. While Elon goes back on his word, I will be doubling down on my commitment to free speech, and I cannot wait to get started. And then he posted an image from the interview of him speaking with Musk. And, you know, he's already got this sort of layback. He's wearing jeans and a collared shirt with a sweater, very preppy looking, but not the look that he had on CNN for sure. And Musk is... he's got a jacket on and sneakers. It's kind of typical. And under the picture, the caption of the picture says, first guest, Elon Musk, like you've never seen him before. You won't want to miss this at hashtag The Don Lemon Show. Watch on YouTube. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. And then he also announced the cancellation in a video on X, which is fun. It's just fun to watch all of this, right? He's walking in New York City, and he makes a video of himself saying, I just got canceled. As I told Don Lemon, said Kara Swisher, who was weighing in, making some comments, as I told him what happened, the owner of this platform, Musk, sent a terse text to his reps, contract terminated, after an interview Lemon did with Musk last Friday that was not to the adult toddler's liking, including questions about his ketamine use. This much-touted multi-million-dollar deal was a pricey effort to attract high-profile media creators to X, not so much when perpetually aggrieved billionaires in desperate need for constant affirmation run the place. So much for free speech. I had told Don that this is exactly what would occur, including at a recent book tour event in New York City for my memoir, Burn Book, that Don moderated despite promises by Musk and Linda Yaccarino, that's the CEO of X, who extravagantly touted this deal to advertisers, that this time it was different. Well, it's again clear who's actually in charge. A thin-skinned, rich dude, this is what Kara Swisher said, a thin-skinned, rich dude who operates via petty whims and exhausting grievances and who calls every fair question a hit piece, who does that remind you of? The last tweet was accompanied by a GIF of former President Donald Trump. To conclude, Swisher said, but X will have to pay out, so another unnecessary cost to a business going in the wrong direction. We'll see. This is, again, all of these things play out in real time for us. It's not like when I was growing up and you waited till the 6 o'clock evening news to get a sort of a synopsis, maybe a summary of what happened in any particular arena, whether it was a political arena or environmental, wherever it was. You had to wait, and then it was concise. And we believed it was, for the most part, not particularly partisan, one way or the other. Not anymore. Now we watch the battle royale taking place right in front of our eyes all the time, every day. And I don't know what's more interesting, the potential of a Don Lemon show or the potential of this epic battle between Musk and Lemon. And don't think that both of them don't know how valuable the PR is if they duke it out like this publicly. And then, of course, all the shots that'll get taken at Donald Trump. Some of these people just never seem to get tired. They just go after Trump, even when they have proof, poll numbers and anecdotal information and actual statistical data that shows them everything they're doing, everything they're trying to do to Donald Trump keeps elevating his standing, propels him even higher in public opinion polls. You would think at some point these rather intelligent, or so they keep telling me they're rather intelligent people, would figure out that what they're doing is not working. And maybe they ought to stop doing it. But I don't think you can teach an old dog new tricks. And some of these old dogs, you know, until they are moved aside, until they literally just get out of the way and let people who understand run the world, this is about as much fun as we're going to have watching this kind of battle. And I'm okay with that, you know. I would be very disappointed in the final analysis if Musk terminated the contract over some petty hurt feelings because he didn't like the content or the context of questions that were asked of him. Guess what? You don't need it to be free speech if everybody agrees on it. The freedom part comes in where there is disagreement. So we'll see. It's a pretty bizarre attack that Musk has launched at Don Lemon. Not that, you know, that's, I think it's fun. Maybe it's just me. But he said that I canceled the partnership, not for the reasons that he said, that Don Lemon said. His approach was basically just CNN, but on social media, which doesn't work, as evidenced by the fact that CNN is dying. This is what Musk said, right? And instead of it being the real Don Lemon, it was really just Jeff Zucker talking through Don, so it lacked authenticity. All this said, Lemon and Zucker are, of course, welcome to build their viewership on this platform along with everyone else. I don't know what that means, but it's interesting because Musk is clear that this whole woke ideology and all this woke nonsense that has infiltrated so many of these social media platforms is lousy for America. And so we'll see. And, you know, I don't like Don Lemon, but you shouldn't have given him a show if you were going to restrict what he was allowed to say. And if he's going to act like he's on CNN, what did you think he was going to act like? You think he was going to turn into a conservative overnight? Or even a reasonable human being overnight? Or even, I don't know, a heterosexual overnight? I don't know what. Anyway, don't forget coming up after me, Eric Erickson, followed by Joe Pags and Lars Larson and the Overnight Guys. And tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., Jen and Bill will be back with the South Florida Morning Show, followed by Brian Kilmeade at 9 and at noon, the Seminole game will be on, and I'll be back at 3 o'clock. So stay right where you are. I have one more segment left today.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast has been brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.